Real stories, reliable information, the latest technology and news. Welcome to the Plastic Surgery Hub podcast, connecting people with practitioners.
Hello, listeners. It's Trish Hammond here again from Transforming Bodies. And today I'm here with the amazing Dr. Davin Lim. Sorry.
You're right. You're right.
And so Davin Lim is a procedural dermatologist based here at West Dermatology in Brisbane. And I've got a few questions to cover with him today, so I'm pretty excited. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
I was about to say, women have called me worse than that. So it's a nice privilege to actually be introduced like that. Yeah, so, yeah, no worries.
So look, I better get my questions around the right way. Right. So you are probably one of the most recognised aesthetic dermatologists in Australia, in Queensland, Australia, if not even the world. So can you tell us, how did you get into it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a long story. It's actually pretty short. I love doing things with my hands. Yeah, dermatology gives you a really good foundation in regards to both the, the basics of skin, but also skin disease. And if you can treat disease skin very well, and you've got an artistic flair, that's where aesthetic dermatology comes in. So half of what I do, yes, is aesthetics. The other half is medical. So medical, we're talking about scarring. We're talking about sunspots, sun damage. There's a crossover with that in birthmarks as well. So there is, once again, a crossover between aesthetics and also functional or medical dermatology.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it is the biggest organ of the body, hey?
So It is. And I guess, you know, the other thing as well, as part doing for a part of actually me being a dermatologist is like I said, is the advancement of technology. Mm. Which is what I'm super keen at, because I've been known to be a gadget guy. So every time a new gadget comes out, whether it be a laser or energy device, I like to find the physics for that.
Yeah. Oh, good. I've got a question on that one. Yeah. It's perfect. So tell me, you've developed a unique style of what you call freestyle filling. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And just tell us a little bit about that and what it is.
I think, to be fair, look, it's a name that we. Most dermatologists know, well, most aesthetic and procedural dermatologists who actually call themselves that actually wouldn't know how to perform. Mm-hmm. It's, once again, it's nothing special in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Plastic surgeons, dermatologists, we all have our own way of filling. So for patients, I guess to make it simple, patients are actually given regions to treat. For example, high cheekbones, lips, noses, and volumization, for example, chin. Mm-hmm. These are all the, the top areas that are filled. For someone who's doing freestyle filling, we basically, are entrusted by the patient mm-hmm. to see which areas may need enhancement and actually address those areas. Yeah. So it's not localized to, for example, higher cheeks. Mm-hmm. When we look at freestyle, every patient that comes in, we can see mm-hmm. areas which, in our opinion, little tweaks here and there, the patient actually looks better. Mm-hmm. Not different, but looks better aesthetically, more balanced.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because I like to go, as we were talking before, I go to one of your colleagues, and I just basically go and say, can you just do what needs to be done? And he's there with his needle, and it's like a paintbrush, and he's like, and I come out like, I just look like me, and then I just get the, you look really good, and it feels good, so I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
That's freestyle filler.
That's freestyle filling, yeah. And in fact, am I allowed to mention the name of the colleague?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Stephen Liu and myself were just talking about this just last week, actually. And very similar. Mm. A lot of the aesthetic dermatologists and plastics, we have 95% of the time we're very similar in what we do. That 5% is what makes us unique in our own specialty or in our own branding. Mm-hmm. But largely, when you see someone of that standing, we agree.
Yeah. And so on that, you say that injecting is an art form. Mm. So tell us. On that, why is it really important to know the anatomy? And when someone's looking for a practitioner, what advice would you give them to find someone who's properly qualified to get done what you want to have done? Like, have you got anything that you can share on that one?
Yeah, I think, there are a lot of great injectors out there, like brilliant injectors. In fact, I've learned from many injectors who are not specialists, because they've been doing it realistically for a lot longer than most, I'm not saying all, but most dermatologists. Yep. So I came relatively... I guess, late in the field. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So I came when filling just started, which was about probably about 15 years ago.
Oh, that long ago?
Yeah, that long ago.
Wow.
I still consider that early because you have the dermatologists which preceded me and a lot of the aesthetic physicians preceded me, they were using bovine collagen. You know, mm-hmm. They're using collagen from animals and having test patches and seeing whether they react. Well, I was relatively lucky because I came in when hyaluronic acid fillers mm-hmm. were emerging, which meant it made things a lot safer, mm-hmm. More predictable. And then, so I think one of the most important things apart from art, mm-hmm. art I think is very important because mm-hmm. you can be a great anatomy lecturer, but whether you can see things or not, if you don't have that, I guess, insightful artistic eye, mm-hmm. no matter how good with your anatomy, you're not going to make a good filler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a good, procedural physician.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's important to have both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anatomy to respect the safety,
mm-hmm.
and then an artful eye to mm-hmm. deliver the outcomes. And I guess the most important thing is, because we all, we all have the good guys will always know. The rules to follow
mm-hmm.
for facial harmony.
Yeah.
And that one is through reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess word of mouth is very important.
Yeah. And I guess as well, you get to look at some before and afters, and like you go into a clinic and if you go in there and someone's got the full, you know, like trout pout, big pub thing, and you don't want that, well, then you know not to go there, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's much, the way I say, it's much like a haircut.
Yeah.
Right? You go to your hairdressers, whatever, who are known for that particular style, mm-hmm. who can actually resonate with you.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's still your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just have to guide you.
Yeah.
But if you go to someone, for example, a master hairstylist, mm-hmm. a director,
mm-hmm.
and you ask them for 1990s Sinead O'Connor look with shaved head,
yep.
chances are they probably won't deliver that to
you.
Yeah. So I guess that's very similar to what we do.
Yeah, that makes so much sense as well. Because if you're the person that wants that, well, then of course you're going to go there. So,
yeah.
All right. And I was going to ask you, so you perform probably every non-surgical option, lasers injected here in your clinic. Can you tell us, like, are people, is there something that sort of is a bit of a standard or something that people are asking for a bit more that you've noticed over lately?
I think I've been fortunate enough to have been trained in the UK, in the US, in Asia, mm-hmm. and in Australia. And I guess everywhere you go, there are what's known as trends. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the trend might not resonate within one country to the other. But what universally I think people want, or people are looking for now, is because a lot of people are time poor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't want long downtime procedures. So I wouldn't say gone are the days. I'd say there is a less demand for things like facelifts, yeah, where it's more invasive, and there's less demand for things like laser resurfacing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, if you've only got one tool, then everything, for example, if you've got a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important to actually have these skill sets so that you can deliver to patients what they want. And I think it's the low downtime procedures.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an increase, a huge increase in fillers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Things, for example, like a micro Botox, right, to treat pore sizing, to treat wrinkles and improve skin texture and pigmentation.
And for those that don't know, so the micro Botox is just like Botox, but just in kind of like micro doses mixed.
It's a micro doses, so you can various delivery systems. Once again, this is not it's not something new. It's something which. It's just another avenue to deliver results to what patients want.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it be micro Botox or micro fillers, you're basically using small amounts scattered over wide areas that actually give a very low downtime.
Yeah.
Right. So I do believe that this is what more and more people want is that low downtime procedure. But also, most importantly now, is to look natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would like to say gone are the days where you have trends where you have big lips, but we still see that.
Yeah.
Yeah? Trout pouts and all. And yes, I cringe when I look at that. But
yeah.
I think it's now. I think people
changing.
Are yeah changing and for the better.
Yeah.
I think yeah.
And I think as well, one thing I've noticed, which you have noticed as well, and you see it on a lot of before and afters, where like faces are getting sculpted with fillers and Botox, just like the you know, no surgery, but just the defined jaw, the narrower face, the bigger chin, and it's all with the injections. Like
And I think up to a certain point,
yes,
it's good. But I think you know, realistically, patients, when you treat someone who's I guess sun damaged in Queensland at the age of 65, has been living in a cattle farm or you know, with so much sun damage, you're going to treat them differently compared to, for example, someone in Melbourne who's had more sun protection, and that's just
skin.
And that's just within that age demographic. And you have to. I'm not saying that you know fill is the answer for everything, nor low downtime procedures, but one has to be well versed in everything from invasive, whether it be facelifts, fully ablative laser resurfacing, all the way to, like we discussed, low downtime, no downtime procedures.
Yeah. Yeah?
The fillers, the Botox and things like that.
Yeah, the bit of the you know, RF needling and all that sort of thing. That it doesn't take, you know, months to get over, that
but,
you can.
But the whole the most important thing is to pick a treatment for that patient.
Yeah.
Right?
And for the patient to pick the practitioner that you're going to go to for your treatments.
I guess that's that's a main crux. Is to actually you know, I've been known to I love my lasers, that's technology. But not every patient that comes and go, well, you know, you need the laser. There's sometimes other better ways to address for example, facial volume, right? And that's where fillers come in, because you can't replace volume with laser. In fact, you make things worse because you tighten skin, right? And it can actually make someone more gaunt because you actually tighten things.
Do you find yourself like looking at people and sort of thinking, you know, because I'm just looking at you now thinking, you know, what's he had done?
No, unfortunately, in the movies, it's a true story. Very rarely do I actually, it's an occupational hazard.
Yeah, of course.
Very rarely do I go to the movies and not actually try to figure out
what they have done.
And
yeah.
I should do a podcast.
You on
celebrity secrets and what I think they've had done.
That's a really good idea.
And I should do that.
You definitely should. I'd love that. So, and one last bit. So, 2019, which is now. So, what do you think? I know there's lots of things happening. I know we've touched a bit on the micro treatments, but what do you see as being something that's coming more? Like what's coming up? There's always like a trend or something like that.
Look, to be fair, I think when it comes to lasers, and you look at the evolution of lasers, Like I said, I was very fortunate when fillers came on board. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's more the little steps. It's not humongous leaps.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, in 2006, 2007, when you had fractionated devices, you know, the Fraxel came in, and the Cyton, the erbiums, the CO2 fractionated lasers, and pearls, and all that sort of fractionated laser resurfacing. That was a huge leap.
Yeah.
And then from there on, it's been gradual increments.
Mm-hmm.
So from a laser and energy device point of view, I don't think it's going to be hugely exciting. It's mainly a spin of what's already been developed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think dual wavelengths,
mm-hmm.
so dual wavelength devices.
Yeah.
And once again, it's not new. It's been for the last 5-6 years, people have been incorporating dual wavelengths in one laser.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might have something like a laser together with microneedling, or laser together with radio frequency, where you deliver two energies which are synergistic.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, it's not new. It's just, I guess, a spin off the old technology.
Yeah.
When it comes to just overall, I think, once again, it's fillers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're having fillers which are, I guess, more cosmetically elegant,
mm-hmm.
you know, with lower viscosity for certain areas, are nice and fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like different palettes of different colors when you're painting.
Yeah.
And you've got so much selection now to address the problems, and marked increase in safety,
mm-hmm.
Longevity, or shorter duration.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some people, for example, I know that they're developing Botox which doesn't last 3 months. Actually, Botox will last a week or two, because you've got that, I guess, a new demographic of patient coming in where they've never had Botox before, and they're too scared that, hey, you know, I might not like this look, and if it's going to last 3 months, what am I going to do? So shorter acting
fillers and shorter acting Botox is I think it's there, right? And it'll be launched, I think, late this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are, I guess, variations of these agents they use in places like Asia, right? So it's another market.
Yeah, the plastic surgery capital of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really. Which I don't mind because they look amazing.
It's genetics,
yeah. All right, so basically the trend is coming for better fillers, different types, and kind of just more injectables.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I guess when you look at energy advice, we discussed that fillers, skincare, right? Skincare, and as you know, everyone starts from the basics and then skincare.
Yeah.
Are we taking a huge step forward, quantum leap forward? No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still, you know, our ABCs, which are very important, and your sunscreen. If you can name four things, that's it.
Yeah.
And everything else is, I guess, a spin.
Yeah.
And the most robust studies are actually studies which have been presented in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the many, many, many years old now.
Yeah.
It's almost half a century.
Yeah.
You can come to think of it. And that's with the vitamin A's and things like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's true, actually, because we were talking before about these sun care, and I didn't start to use a sunblock until I was in my late 40s as a result of a fractional treatment that I wasn't told not to get out in the sun. So
Italian
heritage.
So, I mean, that's, you know, with ethnic skin, so PIH, with skin color changes, is very common after laser.
Yeah.
So the most important thing, I guess, is take our message. We don't invest in anything in sunscreen.
Absolutely. vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, and sunscreen is definitely a game changer. That's the most important skincare around.
If you think about it logically, a lot of things we see, I guess, on the skin, not under the skin, on the skin, or even, you know, superficially, is secondary to UV damage. Yeah? So if you don't have UV damage or reduce your UV damage, you actually prevent things to begin with. Yeah?
Yeah.
So when it comes to fine wrinkles, sunspots, even rosacea, melasma.
Yeah.
The top three things I see as a procedural dermatologist can be prevented with sunscreen.
Yeah,
yeah?
That's so true.
And it's just getting it on twice a day.
Yeah.
They always ask me, what's the best sunscreen? Is the one you're going to put on?
Yeah,
it's
so true.
It's not the most expensive one. You know, UVA and UVB factors considered. It's just getting it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. So this is, if you want to look up Dr. Davin Lim, so it's D-A-V-I-N, and then it's just Lim, and he's a dermatologist in Brisbane. You can drop us an email to info@plasticsurgeryhub.com.au if you want to find out a bit more, or you can Google him as well. He's got an amazing YouTube channel as well, which I'm a little bit addicted to, but you know, I won't tell anyone. So thank you so much.
No worries. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The material provided in this podcast is general information and does not constitute medical advice, nor is it a substitute for consultation and advice from your own practitioner. It should not be used to diagnose or treat any medical illness. Any medical or surgical decision should be made in consultation with your own doctor or practitioner and not based on the materials provided in this podcast.